Hello, and thank you for joining us at the Digital Dinner Table for the Virtual Leftovers podcast. I'm not Kate Arsenal. I'm Mattman.
Kate Arsenal.
Dad Pedleys.
And Ugster.
All righty.
What?
Lead us into it.
Oh, okay. We're doing a new thing because apparently somebody was a little cranky that we missed my 1 year anniversary on the show because that was also the episode that I was being a super grumpy grump. So, you know, go me.
Excuse that.
Anyway, our first topic.
And that.
How the hell does your mouse work here, homie? Star Wars confirms Rey's father is a failed Palpatine clone.
Oh, my
the
God.
The Star Wars Rise of Skywalker novelization reveals Rey's father was actually a failed Emperor Palpatine clone the Sith Eternal built.
Or so Scream Rant says in the thumbnail.
Yeah.
Clickbait.
Okay, the article says, the Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker novelization reveals Rey's father is actually a failed Palpatine clone. One of the biggest, and most controversial, reveals in the films that Rey is the Emperor's granddaughter, descending from ultimate evil. While Rise of Skywalker director J.J. Abrams and co-writer Chris Terrio have done their best to explain why this plot twist is compelling, some viewers took issue with how it seemingly retconned The Last Jedi's stance that Rey came from nowhere and her parents were nobodies. The Rise of Skywalker tries to, from a certain point of view, its way around this, but it didn't work for everyone.
Nope.
Besides arguably clashing with the themes and developments of Last Jedi, Rey Palpatine obviously had huge implications within the larger Star Wars canon. At the time of The Rise of Skywalker's release, the information presented made it appear as if Palpatine had been intimate with an unknown woman giving birth to a son. For the past few months, fans have speculated who Rey's grandmother could be, but now it's been confirmed she does not have one. During the scene in The Rise of Skywalker novelization when Rey is feigning taking part in the Sith ritual on Exegol to trick Palpatine, right before she passes the lightsaber to Ben, she has visions of her grandfather's past. This passage in the book reveals after Return of the Jedi, Palpatine thrust his consciousness into a clone body. However, the transfer was imperfect and members of the Sith Eternal worked tirelessly to engineer a new vessel for Palpatine's essence. One of these attempts is described as a useless, powerless failure who was a not-quite-identical clone. While this body wasn't fit to house Palpatine's power, it was still able to live and eventually became Rey's father. Back in January, Rise of Skywalker editor Marianne Brandon revealed they cut additional Palpatine backstory in an effort to condense the film, and it's possible this information is what she was referring to. Brandon had mentioned that initially the movie got more in-depth into what was keeping Palpatine alive, while Uxter drops to death over here.
Sorry, we have the coronavirus in this area.
No, we're not making these jokes, people. No.
No?
No!
No?
Okay, and it's been confirmed the Rise of Skywalker script included a line about Palpatine being a clone. While it's understandable why the Rise of Skywalker creative team would want to keep things moving and economically find a way around the topic of Palpatine's return, a case can be made it would have been good to include some of this in the film. It may have cleared up questions some people had. Palpatine's role in Rise of Skywalker received criticism in some circles for coming across as sudden and tacked on within the context of the sequel trilogy. His past between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens could have been fleshed out. It'll be interesting if any future canon materials explore more of Rey's father's story. What's fascinating is that even though Palpatine was extremely disappointed in his not-quite-identical clone, and the body couldn't serve the purpose for which it was built, Rey's dad was able to leave Exegol and lead a life. One might have expected Palpatine to order the clone to be destroyed, so there could be more here. Perhaps he envisioned his failed clone fathering a child who could assume the Sith throne. Palpatine was always thinking ahead with his master plans, so that wouldn't be out of the question. All right, thoughts?
I hate it.
Yeah, I think that's a...
Sorry, we're going to take a quick intermission. All right, we're back. Sorry, there's a lot of things happening at once. Continue.
Are we done talking about this? Because
I mean, if you want to be, we didn't really give our thoughts.
I mean,
other than I think it's dumb.
Yeah, well, I am not a fan after seeing all the entire trilogy, sequel trilogy. Disney botched
the entire thing. I still haven't seen it.
I mean, granted, you know, there were not a lot of fans of the prequel trilogy. But the prequel trilogy came out a whole lot better and is a lot more coherent.
But I gotta say, they did good on Mandalorian.
Yeah, sure did. Do you see that art, that picture, that meme I shared, or that thing about Pedro Pascal being in the hospital in critical care, severe back pain from having to carry Star Wars franchise on his back?
Star Wars franchise, yeah.
But you know, it's like,
you know, ironically,
he has finished it.
I did.
Finally.
Yes.
Excellent.
He's seen his face.
The,
Sorry. Let's not talk
about it. Anyway, really? You know, Mandalorian, Rogue One, and Solo, I think, are the better Star Wars live action things to come out of Disney Star Wars.
I mean,
and the frickin' sequel trilogy.
I feel like what they did was they took a popular fan theory off the internet. It was like, yeah, no, let's make that what it is. I mean, at least they didn't make the Mace Windu is Snoke thing real. That would have been horrible. That is a really dumb fan theory.
No.
Nobody would know.
No.
Yes, it is.
Supposedly, there's, you know.
It's even shittier that it was a crap-ass clone.
Yeah, there's theory that still. Snoke was a failed Palpatine clone.
That's what he was.
And
what if he was the father?
There were other Snokes in
Texas. What if that was Rey's father?
No.
There were
Rey's uncle.
There were other Snokes.
Cousin. On the mother's side.
So he was just another failed Palpatine clone.
I mean,
he's not saying no to that. He's saying
no to the clone being Ray's father.
That's what I was saying. No. I was saying,
if the clone looked like a young Palpatine, I could maybe buy that. Maybe. But where the clone looked nothing like Palpatine, I strongly do not buy it.
Yeah. Default.
I hate your mouse.
Default. It just had a paper jam.
Saucy your mouse.
It was just a paper jam.
Not necessarily the mouse. Yeah. Just this table is not conducive to a laser mouse. Okay. Next, continuing with the Star Warses, we have Star Wars is now entering the High Republic era with new books and comics. Leading Cool says, Star Wars fans, say hello to the High Republic. Somebody's trying to goof off. Announced late this evening, as of the 24th of February, this new era of storytelling will begin 200 years before the era of Skywalker. That's right, this era of Star Wars will not overlap with any of the existing films or shows. This is all new. This is the Jedi when they were at their absolute highest peak, and they are the guardians of a great time of peace. Naturally, this can't last, as a new enemy called the Nile that will seemingly stop the Republic's expansion dead in its tracks. The whole thing will kick off.
River.
You know, Nile as in nihilism.
Oh.
It's not spelled Nile as in the river. You're so close. So far.
Mm.
Kick off in August with a novel by Charles Soule titled Light of the Jedi. Both Marvel and IDW will publish ongoing comics set in the High Republic era as well. The Marvel book will be written by Kevin Scott, while Star Wars High Republic Adventures will be written by Daniel Jose Older for IDW. Other novels and young adults by people like Claudia Gray and Justina Ireland will also be coming.
Yes.
And then there's a trailer for the covers and whatnot included.
So given that you're the
I'm looking forward to it.
Comic book and everything Star Wars nerd here.
I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, Star Wars The High Republic, which has previously been referred to as Project Luminous, will be set in an era when the Galactic Republic and the Jedi Order are at their zenith, about 200 years before the events of Star Wars The Phantom Menace. This period on the Star Wars timeline will not overlap any of the film features or series currently planned for production, giving creators and partners a vast amount of room to tell Star Wars stories with new adventures and original characters. We are so excited to be opening up such a rich, fertile area for our authors to explore, says Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy. We will get to see the Jedi in their prime. Come on.
Oh, so...
That's okay, we don't want to scroll. Okay.
So...
The website's dragging because all that.
Okay, Star Wars The High Republic features Jedi as we've always wanted to see them, as true guardians of the peace and justice. Stop bouncing around. This hopeful, optimistic time when the Jedi and the Galactic Republic are at their height. But of course, into this glorious new era, something wicked this way comes, says Lucasfilm Publishing creative director Michael Siglin. Siglin. This initiative will give readers young and old a new corner of the galaxy to explore through rich, meaningful stories. Plus, readers will learn what scares the Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
This was a golden age for the Jedi, and also a time of galactic expansion in the Outer Rim. So expect there to be rich tales of exploration, charting out the galaxy, meeting new cultures, and discovering what pioneer life in the Outer Rim was like. This is an incredible sandbox for our storytellers to play in, both within publishing and beyond, and we can't wait to see the great fiction they build within it, says Lucasfilm Vice President, Franchise Content and Strategy, James Waugh. And we wait for the website to catch up. So like, and come, what the hell's bells just happened?
Shut down.
The computer
crashed. 1 second. Sorry.
Nope. There we go.
All right.
The computer decided it wanted to be glitch. A poo-poo head.
All right. I'm done.
All righty, gents. What are our thinks?
I mean, I like it. It sounds really dope compared to what's been happening with the movies.
Yeah.
Dead Cookies wants to bring up the fact that there was an ad in there that was talking about. Iron Man-esque version of the Black Cat.
Black Cat.
Yes, because that's totally irrelevant to the Star Wars discussion.
It's couldn't Disney.
Couldn't have been saved for the actual Marvel conversation.
It's Disney. We could have clicked it and saved it. How about we just save it till the end, then?
This tape was... Fuck it, you work the damn computer from now on.
All
right. Jesus Christ. See?
Batman's and it's frozen.
Batman froze it.
I told you, this table is not compatible with your mouse.
Pause it.
We'll be right back. We're having some technical difficulties now.
All right, now we're back after fixing our technical issue, and we just checked out the Black Cat, Iron Cat suit thing that gave Dead Cookies his little nerd boner, and turns out there's nothing there until May to talk about when the comic comes out. Anyway, back to the Star Wars High Republic thing. Do we have anything more to talk about?
I mean, I like it. I haven't really...
I enjoyed when Dark Horse Comics, when they had the Star Wars comics license and whatnot. You know, I liked the stuff that they did with the Old Republic, and they, before, you know, just like a couple years, year or two before they lost the license, they started delving into the history and the origin of the Jedi itself, Jedi and Sith, before there was Sith.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, that's about the time that the, you know, Disney buyout of Lucasfilm happened, and Dark Horse didn't get their license renewed because Disney's like, nah, we're gonna kick it back to Marvel.
Oh, right. And
therefore, everything except for, I think, one Darth Maul miniseries, and it was wiped from continuity.
Damn.
Bunch of horse shit.
I would love to see that.
So, I have rental copies of the issue. Anyway, Carrying it on, we're going to take a look at the Batman and his Batmobile, Two Bat, Two Furious.
The Batman.
Matt Reeves just revealed our first look at the Batmobile in his upcoming The Batman movie, and holy heck.
So obviously, this isn't made by some, you know, nerd. This is someone who just wants cool-looking things.
Yeah. So we've got, you know, unless you've been held up in Arkham Asylum for a while now, you're likely aware that there's a new Batman movie in the works with Robert Pattinson, Cedric Diggory from the Harry Potters, and what's-his-face, sparkly vampire guy from Twilight, starring as the titular Man-O-Bat.
Man-O-Bat?
A couple of weeks ago, I received our very first look at Pattinson and all decked out in full bat gear, courtesy of director Matt Reeves. And hey, Batty, does he look damn cool? I'm sorry, my millennial mocking is coming out.
Oh, you're dead. You're dead.
Yeah, it's not that good.
There's no denying that seeing the new suit is a pretty big deal. But there's definitely been one more rather large item on fans' minds: the Batmobile. What's it going to look like this time around? Well, today we received our answer to that question. Once again, courtesy of Reeves.
And he has to be at a stoplight.
Of course. Respect for traffic.
So, now you can find this by going to Matt Reeves' Twitter, of course, but...
Yeah, it's basically just a muscle car with crap tacked on. I mean... And a wannabe Back to the Future DeLorean.
Yeah.
Mr. Matrix, whatever. The name escapes me. Flux capacitor set up on the back. With what?
Don Toretto would. Toretto, right?
I mean, doesn't even really look
Marvel did a time travel movie.
Doesn't even really look bat
DC's going to do a time travel movie.
Other than being black, I'm not really...
It literally just looks like a glorified muscle car.
It just looks like they took something car from Fast and the Furious.
Yep. Like, I mean, even Adam West Batman took the time to take a normal car and kind of Batman it up.
Batman, yeah.
This is literally a glorified muscle car.
Bat wings?
I mean, granted, the Christian Bale, Christopher Nolan Bat Trilogy didn't really
tank.
Didn't batify up the tumbler, but still it didn't look like it was a regular friggin' car you could go down to a car lot and buy.
Yeah, it was still
With aftermarket parts.
Yeah, this thing definitely looks like something you can buy and then take to a shop.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. I
mean, like, maybe like before the podcast, Dead Cookies or one of you guys suggested that it could have been
maybe he got locked out of his company, so he didn't have
transform into a better Batmobile.
I don't know, maybe.
Shit.
Like the prototype Batmobile kind of thing.
Yeah. Which maybe it will, maybe it won't. Maybe. But
well, isn't it his second year?
This
right?
thing looks like something like that the Batmobile might be able to spit
year.
Out.
Second year.
That's how it's supposed to be his first year,
no,
basically.
It's after his first year. It's supposed to take place after the first year.
I mean, I know it's supposed to be early in his career.
Yeah, it's supposed to be his second year. So he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't know what he's doing. So this could just be his early adaptation of a Batmobile, I guess. Still sucks.
Because first he got around on the Bat Bicycle.
I will still watch it.
Not gonna lie, it almost looks like it can bust into a piece right here on the corner. Like it could turn into a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So, possibly, maybe it's just a piece of the bigger Batmobile.
Maybe.
That can break all the way down into a motorcycle.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's Batman-y right there.
For really awful, but at this point in this whole epidemic of a movie, we've seen his suit, the close-up, and then the set photos, which reveal he might be wearing cargo pants.
I don't think I've seen a full-body shot of him.
Oh, yeah.
One second, we're.
We are looking. Yeah.
That's supposed to be the full body version.
I mean, you might be right about the motorcycle.
It's possible.
Well, either that or it's just a separate.
Separate motorcycle.
Motorcycle.
Yeah.
That looks ridiculous.
That was something they wanted to point out, was that it could have something to do with that.
In the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Possible.
I would love to see that.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Like they're, you know, I don't know necessarily to be.
They're also kind of
cargo pants, which is, you know, like BDUs.
Yeah. Something, yeah.
Calling out first year.
Which honestly, there's not really much difference between BDUs and cargo pants.
But yeah, no, this is kind of like. It definitely seems like an early adaptation of Batman. Like,
yeah.
He's not quite the Batman we all know.
He hasn't figured out his look.
This is definitely an experimental phase. It's not good.
Is his eyes blocked out in there? Or is that just, like, Photoshopped?
Oh, yeah.
That looks Photoshopped.
Is it Photoshop, or is
it looks like it's actually got some
kind of lens covering over his eyes.
Yeah.
Which... might actually, you know.
I think that would only be.
That was my big complaint with the suit reveal, was how easily you could spot his eyes.
Well, I don't think those are going to be a permanent thing. I think that's more or less for his ride on the bike throughout the.
So he's wearing a bat helmet.
Basically.
Yeah.
Well, I think they'll probably, like. Either, like, disappear.
Retract.
Go up in there.
Be retractable.
I'm sure they're going to have that be some little thing it does.
Well, yeah, they did do something like that in Batman Forever. Well,
can we see, can we see how his eyes look in that one?
Well, that's Photoshop.
No,
we can't see what his eyes look like.
No.
Not you can see his eyes from there?
Zoom. You can. Scream that. I mean, you can. Yeah, he has.
All this extra work.
I know. Yeah, I'm difficult.
Yeah. Difficult cookies?
Yeah, you can see his eyes there.
Yeah.
Sorry, we had to.
Ish.
Go up on dead cookies.
I don't know. I think
there.
Jury should be, you know, kind of out on that. Cause
yeah, I'd see his
it
eyes.
It could have
on
just
that
been.
One.
Reflection of light, you know, on the lenses.
So yeah,
and
I don't
it doesn't
know.
Necessarily mean the lenses are, you know, dark either.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't hate the motorcycle that he has.
No,
I'm not a fan of his Batmobile.
No,
and I don't know about that suit.
Yeah,
like before they showed the full body, I was like, all right, maybe it doesn't look so bad.
In a yeah. different lighting.
Maybe the full body doesn't look so bad, but now that I see it, it's just kind of like, oh, wow. Also, is that like his stunt double or something that doesn't look like Chris Patterson?
Yeah.
I don't know. You can find all this online if you want to go look up the Batman set photos for the car, the suit, everything.
Everything.
But
or you can not.
I don't know if I want to watch this one.
It just kind of looks cheap.
Yeah.
It does look cheap.
Anyways, moving on from that.
Alright. DC Comics news. The Flash sets up the DC Universe for a major continuity change. Yet again. Let's see. The following article contains spoilers for The Flash number 750 by Joshua Williamson, Marv Wolfman, Jeff Johns, Francis Manapul, Brian Bucalato, Scott Lobdell, Rafa Sandoval, Steven Segovia, a whole friggin' mess of people on sale now.
Bunch of them.
Over the decades, the DC Universe has undergone a lot of continuity changes. A lot of continuity changes. Some events have sought to streamline existing events to resolve problems created by having multiple universes and timelines, while others like the new 52, did away with much existing continuity to pave the way for something different. In 2016, DC Rebirth relaunched the publisher's line again, this time restoring many elements of the pre-New 52 continuity. However, this only further compounded DC's continuity problems, with which the publisher now looks set to fix through Wally West. The Flash, number 750, features stories from several different creative teams who've contributed to the Scarlet Speedster's journey through the milestone issue. The book itself ends with an epilogue to Scott Lobdell, Brett Booth, and Norm Ratman's Flash Forward, which is where the publisher makes its intentions to again change its continuity clear. In Flash Forward, Wally West found himself on a multiversal quest at the behest of Tempest Fuginaut. However, Tempest eventually brought the former Kid Flash to the Incursion Point, which threatened to destroy the DC Universe by facilitating an invasion from the Dark Multiverse. Tempest wanted Wally to destroy the planet, since the location was created by the hero's fears and anxieties. There was a catch, though. Wally's long-lost children, Jay and Iris West, were on the planet. Wally eventually struck a deal with Tempest to whisk his children away to be with their mother, Linda Park, and got into the Mobius chair. The Mobius chair is one of the New Gods' most powerful artifacts and bestows upon its user an unbelievable amount of knowledge. Although this seemingly wiped away Wally's individuality, the act destroyed the Incursion Point, as he no longer had the fears and anxieties that created the planet in the first place. Wally also received Dr. Manhattan's powers, as the Watchmen character had imparted his incredible abilities into the Morbius chair, or Mobius chair. The Flash Forward epilogue in Flash number 750 sees Wally wrestling with the contradictions in the timeline, including the Justice Society, Legion of Superheroes, meeting Barry Allen for the first time, the formation of the Teen Titans, and many, many more events that changed along with the DC Universe's continuity. Time, space, reality, it's all broken, Wally says. It all risks collapse. Tempest then asks if anything can be done to stop what's happening, and Wally replies, I'm the fastest man alive. I sat on the Mobius chair. The power of a god races through me. So yeah, I got this. There have been rumors for a while that DC is headed towards a major continuity change, and Flash Forward makes clear the Fastest Man Alive's universe is about to change again. Doomsday Clock revealed Dr. Manhattan's tinkering caused the New 52 and DC Rebirth, but his actions did major damage to the fabric of reality. Wally now has Dr. Manhattan's powers, and he's looking to set things right. However, just what that means to the hero, who has been drastically altered by his experience with the Mobius chair, is anybody's guess. The Flash 751 releases March 11th from DC. So it's not on sale now. You lying sacks of crap at the beginning of the article.
Well, but that...
So, yeah.
I mean, so far that's my...
Oh, no. See, they're relying on the Flash to fix stuff again?
They never...
That's a shocker.
The only reason the Watchmen characters are even in the DC universe now... is because of the popularity of the frickin' original graphic novel and the movie and then the TV series. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
They were never part of DC continuity, ever.
No, never. They were their own
thing. And now they're like, oh, cha-ching.
Yeah.
Let's
take one of their strongest characters and one of our weirdest characters.
I mean, DC's just kind of like...
You know, it's like the last thing was, you know, Flashpoint set up the New 52 continuity restart that they did.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Marvel has their own fucking bullshit fucking storylines out there that... But it's like DC, every time they try to do a continuity reboot, it's just kind of like...
It's a flip.
But they don't. Marvel doesn't go to, you know, intentionally do their shit. Be like, oh, well, just ignore this. This never happened anymore. Unless there's a genuine thing that they did screw up on later, and all writers and everybody moving forward was like, yeah, well, that was just like a bad dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't count.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
but again, that's why I don't really read much in the way of DC Universe proper comics. You know, if I'm reading anything from DC, it's like I'm reading, you know, I read Lucifer, their various He-Man, Masters of the Universe stuff that they do, because they've actually handled the property pretty well, I think. It's done a lot better than, you know, the cheesy cartoons and other cheesy-ass He-Man comics.
Hmm.
You know, villains are actually more competent, for starters.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. have you ever thought Orko could be a threat?
No.
You have thought wrong, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You have thought way wrong. When Skeletor's Orko's bitch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Spoiler, but anyway.
You had a train of thought going on this.
Anyway, I read, you know, like various Masters of the Universe minis or whatever that they put out. Lucifer, and I'm reading their Black Label imprint titles. You know, Batman Damned, Last Knight on Earth.
White Knight, you said.
Yeah, Batman White Knight and the Curse of the White Knight, which is currently out. It ends this month, I believe. And then, you know, they've done a Harleen mini, which is retelling her origin. You know, basically the lead up to her becoming Harley Quinn when she first met, you know, Mr. J.
Speaking of, did you finish it?
Yeah, he finished it before
the series. You. Yeah, the Harley Quinn animated.
No, I finished it before.
Yeah, I watched it that night.
Yeah, I finished it before him.
Prick.
I can swear you were talking about finale.
No.
I told him that, you know,
he didn't get to see it.
I warned him that the episode before the season finale was.
Yeah, I kind of watched it.
And then I think it was the next day is when it came out.
It flipped it.
Yeah, they undid it.
They kind of fucked up.
Anyways.
It was the whole bait and switch thing. Oh, no, she's dead. And it's like, then she's going to come back. And what do you know?
Yeah, she died. You don't know who died, but she died.
And then she come back.
Mm-hmm.
Through the power of
love. Uh-huh. Love, yeah.
Oh, that doesn't spoil it.
All right. Lucifer fans. Lucifer's Tom Ellis has finalized deal for potential season 6 at Netflix. The devil's in the contract details. Lucifer's Tom Ellis has finalized a new deal to continue raising hell as the show's title character in a potential 6th season, TV Line has learned exclusively. News of the actor's extension all but clears the way for the series' 6th season renewal at Netflix. Last week, co-showrunners Ildi Maldrovich and Joe Henderson inked new season 6 deals. Meanwhile, many, if not all, of Ellis' co-stars have existing deals that carry them through season 6. As TV Line exclusively reported earlier this month, Netflix is in talks with Warner Brothers Television to extend the Supernatural Tinge procedural's lifespan beyond the previously announced and forthcoming 5th and final season. After airing for 3 seasons on Fox, Lucifer was rescued by Netflix in June 2018, just weeks after its cancellation. At the time, titular star Ellis called the backlash to the cancellation and subsequent hashtag Save Lucifer campaign nothing short of ridiculously overwhelming, adding, "Since doing Lucifer, I've done press in various parts of the world, and I'm fully aware that this show is much more popular than what it had seemed to be on Fox. So I'm not surprised about people being angry. I just wasn't ready for this tsunami of love that came with it." The 10-episode 4th season, released on Netflix in May 2019, found the titular devil dealing with both a pesky priest and the return of his very first girlfriend, Eve. 1 month later, Netflix announced that it had renewed Lucifer for a concluding 5th season, which is currently in its final weeks of production. Season 5 will consist of 16 episodes that will air in 2 separate 8-episode chunks, premiere date to be determined. And reps for Netflix and Warner Brothers Television declined to comment for this story.
Hmm.
Oh.
I'm excited.
I'm of two minds of it. Well, one, I would love to see another season of Lucifer, and I know my wife would too. I am concerned that if they've already got season 5 set up to be the finale, what would season 6 be like?
See,
that's what I'm worried about, is that they might do a season 6
as a finale as well.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but that was set up because they didn't know if they would be able to come back. So that's fine. And then they know they're coming back. You know, they're like, okay, we are doing one more season.
Yeah.
And this will be the final season. Well, if
they do the 8x8, now they can just tweak the last.
What, season 3? You went to fucking hell.
Yeah.
Right? And that was supposed to be the ending on TV.
Actually, at the end of season three is when he revealed his devil face to Chloe.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to be the ending. That wasn't supposed to be. They canceled it, and then they're like, "We didn't even get to properly end it."
And that's why four, the way it's set up, you know, set up where if that was to be the final season,
it was still an
ending. Mm-hmm. If it was not going to be the final season, it still left the door open enough for a. You know, at least one more season. Mm-hmm. And then after they found out they were getting renewed for season 5, they're like, okay, and then this is going to be it. This will be the final season. Right, we're stopping there.
Constantine.
Season 5 is done. And then now, here just weeks before they're finishing up with fifth season, now they're like, oh,
together.
We would like to do a 6th season, but we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm worried that they might just do... something that might cause the show to jump the shark.
Well, I know who goes to him and make out.
Anyways, but you know what, Netflix, if you're not going to do another Lucifer season, like, I wouldn't care either which way. Like, that'd be awesome if you do. Great, fine if you don't. But if Lucifer doesn't get another season,
maybe try
to pick up Constantine with Matt Ryan, because God damn it, he's the best Constantine I've seen so far, and... he deserves no show again.
Well, to be fair, we've only seen 2 that I'm aware of. Well, he is the better of 2.
Yes.
Well, he plays the voice on the...
on the animated stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, too.
So he's
but I'm just saying, as far as any on-screen incarnations we've had of Constantine between Keanu Reeves and Matt Ryan.
I mean, he's literally perfect.
Yeah.
He's... like, he bleached his hair for the role.
He's got the look.
He's got the look.
Even the animated ones look like his actor.
Yeah.
Which looks like the comic.
Yep. And it's just... he's so good in the role. And I hate the fact that he didn't get more than one season.
I know.
He's so good in it. He deserves more.
He
needs a big budget.
I think if they do with the Constantine season, though, I would like them to start fresh, just...
yeah, ignore the first season
from NBC.
You start fresh with him and
from years ago.
With him. Like, you can recast everybody else in his storyline, but
Lucifer keep has
it. But it still has to be Tom Ellis as Lucifer.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I was
Have Lucy pop up. Like the Netflix series could just be about his time on Earth 666. Yeah. Like, when he first met Lucifer. Yes.
The first time. Oh.
Well, when he first met that Lucifer, because I'm sure he's probably met other Lucifers.
Oh, he probably met thousands.
But,
you know, or unless Lucifer is a multiversal constant where he's, you know, the same in every one.
I don't think so.
But at the same time, it could be.
Yeah. Well,
but like as we saw in the Crisis of Infinite Earths, there's a difference.
We have not seen.
What?
You still haven't watched that yet?
I have. It's not on Netflix yet. I don't have normal cable.
I'll bring you my rental copy when you find your hard drive when I bring over Doctor Who season 12.
Well, they're about to be on Netflix. I'm just waiting for it to update. Anyways.
I will bring the rental copy.
We're not.
Anyways.
Moving on.
But no, I really want to see more of Matt Ryan and Tom Ellis as Lucifer and Constantine.
Yeah.
Just those that are butting heads.
I want to find out why Lucifer owed him one.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Lucifer owes nobody shit.
Constantine?
Constantine? A human?
Alright, moving on.
He's still human.
I know, but
we have Tom Holland. Is just as upset about Spider-Man's MCU exit as the rest of us. Arguably one of the greatest moments in Tom Holland's and Bob Iger's careers involved a halfway drunken phone call last year of the former begging the latter to keep Spider-Man in the MCU. Even if unconventional in approach, it obviously worked, leading Iger to call Sony and work out a deal faster for sake of the fans and cast involved. While the deal gave Spider-Man a few more movies, nobody really knows what happens after that. The time of the next Spider-Man movies will be here before anyone knows it. If no deal is reached to extend further, maybe the Spider-Man franchise will move on to Sony anyway. All of this up in the air with Bob Chapek, now the new Disney CEO. Not that Tom Holland isn't still expressing his feelings. If Tom Holland had his way, Spider-Man would stay at the MCU. Based on recent comments from Holland, he's thought all along his version of Spider-Man slash Peter Parker needed to stay put in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He was so distraught about Sony having to deal with the franchise, his now legendary phone call to Iger became an overwrought plea to move mountains. The funny thing is, Holland has also expressed support towards Sony and what they could possibly do with Spidey. He said that they had some very creative ideas in mind to take the franchise out of the creative complacency of the MCU. What probably spooked Holland was the risk involved in changing direction. Also at stake was the creative team behind Spider-Man at the MCU. Nothing can beat Kevin Feige at the helm, since his profound understanding of the story will make the MCU soar for years to come. Since it'll likely be another year and a half before the next MCU Spider-Man movie is released, Will Holland express nervousness again if Bob Chapek doesn't extend the MCU deal with Sony? Once the MCU trilogy is complete, maybe Tom Holland will feel differently. For fans, the whole point of the contention was being able to complete this new Spider-Man trilogy now at its halfway point after last summer's Far From Home. Being able to complete that at the MCU makes all the difference rather than suddenly switching into left field with the new story. It's also going to be one of the most important Spider-Man stories told so far, as well as the most complex. After all, with Peter Parker now exposed as Spider-Man, no thanks to Mysterio, Jake Gyllenhaal, it's going to test the limits of what Parker can do to fix things. Whatever happens will likely set up what comes next, perhaps in cameos and Sony films first. Then there's also that solo film to set things up further for maybe taking on the multiverse as Sony already broached. Having Tom Holland become a part of the Spider-Verse franchise would certainly be worth doing once done with the MCU arc. Then again, Holland may feel trepidation if polling discovers fans want Spider-Man in the MCU indefinitely as an emotional anchor to the Avengers. Will Bob Chapek broker an extended MCU Sony deal? After the shock of Bob Iger stepping down as Disney CEO and Bob Chapek taking his place, it no doubt has many wondering what Spider-Man's far-off future is at the MCU. Chapek has to inherit all of that and plan out the next decade. Bob Iger will still be in the shadows as a mentor, but only for a limited time until 2021. What happens if Chapek... Stupid thing. What happens if Chapek eventually lets Spider-Man go from the MCU in favor of Kevin Feige's apparent plan to introduce newer characters? Moving on from the MCU might still be, arguably, the best thing for Spider-Man to see how creative the franchise can become. If staying at the MCU feels comfortable and has emotional ties, dropping him into the Sony universe would open a lot of wild possibilities. What's more important, though, is always keeping some kind of connective strings to the original Avengers, no matter if it's Parker having a few flashbacks within his new reality. And if it takes Holland getting drunk again to call Chapek, let's hope it's not a hang-up response. So,
I mean,
I would prefer if they kept Holland Spider-Man in the MCU.
I would too, but at this point, I'm just tired of the fucking back and forth on this. Because it's like, he's staying in the MCU. Wait, no, he might mean not be staying. He's staying in the MCU. Wait, no, maybe not.
I'm
going
to be okay if he goes to Sony.
I mean, as long as it stays, well, that's, Venom can work fine without.
Well, no, no, I'm just saying. It would be cool with.
It's like, yeah, if they're going to
do, you know, I would like it what they would do. If they want to have Tom Holland Spider-Man in both.
Yeah.
Do a live action Spider-Verse first.
Yeah. Do something that would kind of
to tell the story over. That's what, you know, and you know, then they can have some of the, you know, villains like you know, the Vulture can still be running around in the Sonyverse free. Mysterio can still be alive in the Sonyverse, so they can still use him. Mm-hmm. And they could do, you know, the Sinister Six and all that crap.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, Marvel, if they want to use some of these villains, they can. If they don't want to use some of those villains, they don't need to worry about it because, you know, Sony's taking care of them. We don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, don't have to deal with bringing Venom into the MCU and starting the whole symbiote crap.
But, you know.
Anyway.
So, I guess that's all of the thoughts we have. It's just kind of like, figure your shit out, Marvel. Either have Spider-Man be a part of the MCU or not. Just
give us Spider-Man or not.
At least resolve his damn story arc in the MCU.
All right.
Then you can kill him off.
Yeah.
All right. Then we have a brief thing about Loki's set pictures may hint at a surprising pull from the comics. New photos of Tom Hiddleston and Sofia DiMartino on the set of Loki have surfaced, with DiMartino in a costume that looks awfully similar to Loki's Asgardian garb, suggesting the series might deliver on the Lady Loki premise from the comics, in which Loki, as his Nordic folklore counterpart can, occasionally changes his form, aging himself up, down, or sometimes taking on the form of a woman, as he perhaps most famously did recently in the 2008 run of Thor.
Now, we've seen the pictures and stuff, and you can find them at BR Marvel News on Twitter. And they show a bunch of set photos and one that's called Lady Loki.
Mm-hmm.
? So, I mean, it'll be kind of cool if they do go through with a Lady Loki.
It would be.
It would.
Yeah. Keep in mind this is a Disney Plus thing. It's not actually an MCU movie official.
Like, yeah, it's, you know, just...
Well, it's the Disney Plus series are supposed to be...
Yeah, they're supposed to be tied.
Supposed to be, you know, considered part of the MCU. MCU.
But at the same time, though, so was the ABC original series,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and so originally were the Netflix originals.
Well, as far as...
Until they weren't.
Well, as far as S.H.I.E.L.D. went, it's about the time that it stopped mattering was about the same time that Marvel TV and Marvel movies split.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because of issues with Feige and Perlman at Marvel. So
I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird because we seem to have been somewhat praising DC mostly tonight and kind of down talking Marvel and DC and Star Wars with their ridiculous bullshit.
What is it tonight?
It's a little different.
It's a little different.
It is.
Yeah, I think we haven't really been praising DC.
Well, I mean, we haven't really been praising. Well, we haven't been talking as much.
You know,
we haven't been talking as much crap as we usually do, and we've been
a
little bit harder on Marvel than
Batman
we usually
are. By the Batman,
but
Mobile.
Outside of that, I think.
But I am excited for that Star Wars High Republic thing. I am looking to that.
Yeah, that looks like it's gonna be good. Outside of that, I feel like. Since we're almost to our hour mark, we won't be taking a mid podcast intermission. So, you want to close us out?
Well, I guess since we appear to be done, we shall jibber jet y'all next week, hopefully, when my friggin' work schedule returns to normal.
Hopefully.
Well, it should be. The guy that's been out is supposed to be back next week.
Okay. So, he got his. Coronavirus all taken care of.
Yes, he's cured.
I said we wouldn't do those jokes on this podcast.
It was the end of the podcast.
It doesn't matter anyway.
Oh, forget your face.
So maybe.
But no, he had pneumonia. He was gone last week and he's gone this week.
So.
And he's.
No.
Says he's coming back next week.
No?
As far as we know, it's not Corona. Yeah.
So, with that being said, we might do another thing like this at some point where someone else hosts. Makes me have to not do anywhere near as much work.
All right.
Next week is dead cookies.
God, no.
One of these days.
All right. Have a good night.
Have a good night. Bye.
Later.